We've been talking with Town Supervisor Judy Bosworth and our co-host today, Otto Loos from New Hyde Park.
That's me.
How are you doing, Otto?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
I'm very interested, and I know we talked a lot about the grants part of it.
Yes.
But I think it's important for people to understand that we don't see this in the open very often as far as what our leaders do, our political leaders do. And I think the ability for them to manage and take advantage of grants is something that the skill to do that is something that's taken for granted. People don't really realize that this is worth money to you, and it gives you a lot of things that you might not get otherwise, like all the things that might go on in Port Washington, you know, wetlands. And there's a list of grants that I saw in the newspapers that just goes on and on. So I think people probably should pay a little attention to the fact that, hey, there's some skill involved here in getting these grants.
There is. And, you know, I mentioned our grant, you know, supervisor, you know, Tom Devaney. But he works with so many of the people, you know, in the town, our commissioner of planning, our commissioner of public works. So there are so many people that are involved, our, you know, commissioner of parks, so many people that are involved with having to give information so that we're able to write a grant that is taken seriously and is successful. You know, you mentioned that we had $16 million in federal, state, and local grants for a variety of projects. So we were given a good deal of money as a result of the good record keeping that we took, that we made. And I can't take credit for that. That happened, you know, under the former administration during Superstorm Sandy.
Right.
And so it was important to make sure that whatever was done in terms of cleanup after the storm, the work that needed to be done during the storm, that it was documented, because that was reimbursable through FEMA. So we were just awarded $12.5 million from FEMA for the replacement of our town dock. And that was due to damages that were incurred during Superstorm Sandy. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we were able to document everything in the way that we were helped this grant, you know, be successful. We also received over $1.14 million in regional economic development awards from the state that will be promoting our North Hempstead Beach Park, that will continue with protecting Hempstead Harbor wetlands, and also continuing with the Baywalk. Another grant, and this is something that people may not know about, and it's not the largest grant that we've had, but it's a significant one, in that it's a $50,000 grant that we got from the National Park Service to preserve and highlight sites and stories that were related to the 20th century civil rights movement. So we were only one of 39 entities in the entire country to get this award. And, you know, North Hempstead was really very active in that civil rights movement. There are so many powerful stories mm-hmm. that are out there that we'll now have the opportunity to record, to capture. We'll capture it, you know, by filming oral histories. We're also going to make a documentary about it that will be, you know, produced by our very own North Hempstead TV. So I'd like to actually take the opportunity to encourage anybody who was involved in the civil rights movement in the 60s or, you know, whatever time, to call 311 to let them know that they have a story to tell.
Right.
So give us the opportunity to make sure that they are part of that oral history.
Yeah, a lot of things are taken for granted, and a lot of people paid a heavy price to get us to where we are today, which is not perfect, but it's
there's
better
always
than
room for
where
improvement.
It was.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
So as you can see, there's a lot of opportunity for grants and funding in all different realms, you know, like historical and archiving, environmental, transportation, seniors, disability. There's so many FEMA, and you can probably see the complications that come with the grant. I mean, even the FEMA, even with great record keeping, there's miles, you know, of bureaucracy, not necessarily on our end, but, you know, trying, it's almost like you sometimes you get a grant and then they dare you to draw down from it. But they sometimes they make it difficult, but ultimately, you know, if, like Judy was saying before, once you've done it, once you've gotten a certain grant and they see that you spend it appropriately, and, you know, and a lot of times what we do in the town is we do things that have never been done with a grant, and they're like, okay, that's a great idea. And that even makes us a better kind of client for the next grant.
Well, you're basically competing with other people, other
some
entities, other governments,
exactly,
for that money. And there's only so much money, and the ability of the grant team to do this in a good professional way makes it a lot easier for you to get the money. And I think as a member of the community of the town of North Hempstead, I think that's great that the town pays attention to that and does what they can.
Thank you. But, you know, I look back to how Project Independence even got its start. And Rebecca, I know your mom was very involved with that as well. But it was New Hyde Park, the naturally occurring retirement community. Yeah. So there was a lot of work done with identifying that community, but then it grew to include all the different areas in the town. So here's something where we took grants, we're able to help the seniors in New Hyde Park, but we're able to then expand it. And I think Project Independence really could and should be a national model for services that can be provided to help people age in their homes, stay independent, because who doesn't want to be able to, you know, be in their home? And to have all the support services that Project Independence provides is just a wonderful thing.
You know, national with local control.
Yes. Good
Very
point.
Important.
I was actually going to save this for later, but I think it's a good segue. Everything that you do in this town really enables people to age in place. Whatever age it is, whether it's kind of, you know, making our parks more walkable, people with disabilities, seniors, you just continually do things that really help people age in place and live in place. So kind of what you were saying, when Project Independence first started and we had money from NYSOFA and AOA and all these other agencies to kind of implement a NORC, and then we grew. And because other people in the town said, hey, that's...
We want that.
How come you could do that over there across the street, and the people on the other side of the street weren't able to do it? So, and, you know, one of the things, of course, that makes it so successful and just continues with the town is 311, which really...
No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
You know, helps the town. One of your big issues when you first came to the town, I remember, is transparency. You talked about transparency and you know, with the 311, you're able to track every call. You're able to kind of, if somebody calls and says, I called about a pothole, you know, and it didn't get filled, and then we can say, well, do you have an SR number? And something so simple as that to, you know, a bigger problem. So, and I think that it really has benefited everybody, all the kinds of programs that you implemented to kind of make the town more transparent.
Well, 311 is something that should be on everybody's mind, because our 311 call takers are trained to take the concerns, to enter, you know, the SR service requests, so that it doesn't just kind of go into a big vacuum.
Right.
And so much of Project Independence, calls that are made to talk about what the members of Project Independence need are directed to a separate page, a separate, you know, part of 311, so that the calls are able to take. But, you know, Rebecca, you mentioned transparency.
Yeah.
And so if it's okay with you, I'd love to talk about that a bit, because
there's
nothing, I believe, more important in government than transparency, because it really allows the sunlight into the process of government. And that's something that I think we all have to remember. I think all elected officials need to understand clearly that we're here to serve our residents. And I banged on the table and I didn't mean to, but I really feel passionately about that. Our residents are entitled to know how the government is running, what the priorities are, how we're spending their tax dollars.
Right.
The only way that can happen is if government is run in an open and transparent way, in a way that people can trust. It's the only way I can imagine doing things, and our residents deserve no less.
Well, trust is a word, I think, in everything. Family, friends, husband and wife, and government. And I believe that's a key thing. I mean, if you lose trust in your government, then you have a problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, when that trust is there, then it makes all the things that you do that much, I'm not going to say easy, because government isn't easy.
More but pleasant.
But, yeah, so that
it's
that
open.
It's open, and open. People know that there's that give and take. So, you know, there have been so many things that have occurred in the last year that are a cause for people to doubt government. There have been different, and I don't want to go into all of them. They've been on every level of government, and it's really unfortunate. And so we've actually proposed stringent reforms to address issues of ethics, procurement policy, and nepotism in the town. In fact, last March, we enacted several financial and nepotism disclosure recommendations into law. And one of them, in terms of financial disclosure, was that any contractor who directly advises town boards has to file a financial disclosure statement. In addition, anybody who's required to file a statement now has to, on that statement, disclose if they have any relatives
right.
who are employed by the town. So that, because sometimes people have different last names. That's fine.
Yeah.
But we need to know, and it's fine if there are relatives who are working in the town, but we need to know about that. So we've also proposed a package of nepotism reforms that will apply to all town employees, not just those who are required to fill out financial disclosure statements. That's going to be discussed at a public hearing at our February 28th town board meeting. And when you talk about transparency, people should know that anytime we have a town board meeting, they're live streamed. So if you're not able to come to a meeting, you just need to go to your computer, go to the Town of North Hempstead website, you press the button for town board meeting, and you're able to watch the meeting as though you were sitting right there.
It's not a smoky back room.
It's not. I don't smoke.
Me either.
No smoking no back room.
And you also started town board meetings earlier, so people it doesn't go as late, which has been effective, I believe.
Well, we had our first meeting in June, in July. Hello, January, and it was a J month,
yeah.
A little senior moment. You can all relate.
Yes, we can.
Yes, in January, and it is better. The other thing that we've done also is that we've moved our public comment to the beginning
yes.
of our town board meetings. That has really been very appreciated by the public. So if somebody wants to come to a meeting and wants to address the board on an issue not related to something on the calendar, they don't have to wait till
the end
of the meeting, which, you know, sometimes could be 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock,
yeah.
or 1 o'clock in the morning. So if they're there, they have the opportunity to speak to the board right at the start of the meeting.
Right.
We also put together a bipartisan ethics reform working group that was formed last year, and it's made up of representatives of the town board, someone from the board of ethics, the public, and administration. One thing that's come up is procurement, because it had been that each department put out their own bid, developed
right.
their own procurement documents. What we've done now is we've put a procurement officer in place to oversee this, and we feel that by centralizing the procurement procedures, we're preparing bids in a way that attracts a wider pool of respondents, including minority and women-owned businesses, and we're opening the town to new vendors.
Great.
And by doing that, we're increasing competition, and as a matter of fact, we're starting to see vendors responding to our RFPs that never responded before, because I think the word is out that we're open, we want to, you know, consider whoever wants to work with us, we want to work with them, and it will be more competitive, and the taxpayer will see a benefit to that.
It's great. I mean, it's just showing the whole process of transparency. Everyone has the same opportunity to, you know, get all the information and do whatever everybody else can do, and it's just been...
Well, sometimes a vendor gets too comfortable.
Right.
This is the situation.
You know what? It's the... If people are bidding on things, it goes... The bid goes to the person who's the lowest bidder, who has the capability of doing the project.
Yeah, they have to be able to do the job.
Exactly.
Not just have the lowest price.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I could do it for 10 cents.
Because I was always on the other end of this. Mm-hmm. I was in sales all my life.
Oh.
Okay, well, we've been talking with Supervisor Judy Bosworth and Otto Loos, our co-host. We're going to take a quick break and be back in a minute.